This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
Great. Welcome to the Flat Bottom Girls podcast.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Flat Bottom Girls. My name's Maddie.
My name's Jordan, and today we're going to help you out.
Yes, it's Tuesday, November 3rd, as you all know, which is Election Day. Crazy times. We're here to provide you an hour of relief from the stress of
Throw the podcast in before the election. Throw it in after the election. Mm-hmm. Either way, it's going to make you feel weird, at least.
Yeah, if you're my mom, you'll be listening in April 2021. And if you are, hey, here's a little speck of time from November 2020.
Here's a little flake. Here's a little flake of the past. What are your plans for election night? What are you gonna do today?
Here's the plan. Listen, I already voted early, motherfucker. So everything's out of my control. I'm going in with that mentality.
Isn't it funny how the voting early thing? It was like, I was writing about this today, where it's like, vote or die, bitch. All the millennials better come out and vote. You gotta fucking put on your helmet and gear up for the war. And then you get there and you're like, all right, let's fucking vote, dude. And they're like, all right, here's a sheet of paper. And you're like, ready. And then they're like, just all you gotta do, fill in that tiny little bubble. And then you get a sticker. And you're like, God, can somebody punch me on the face on the way out or something?
I know, you're like, I did it. You wanna run out of there streaking. You're like, where's my fucking medal, bitch?
Yeah, literally what it takes is to stay inside the lines and then you get a sticker as a reward. It's so patronizing. Actually, I'm like, they should have you know, room that you go into and they shake you around a bit to feel like you did something.
They should shake your biases out of you before you vote. They should shake it all, everything you think, shake it out, go in with a blank slate and pick based off whose name you like the best.
I also went in there with such like, I just fucking waited in line around the block twice. I'm going in. Here we go. And I like immediately went to the little boxes and just put a huge check mark in them like an idiot.
Oh.
And then I read the directions and it was like, don't fucking do that. And
did
I was
you
like,
have to get a new Scantron?
No, I just had to fill it in differently. Hopefully it counted, but who knows? And then on the back, I was like, I don't know what the fuck is going on here.
Yeah, when we were voting for the state judges or whatever, I was like, bitch, I don't give a fuck.
Did you do the research or did you just like pick the one that was
Did Democratic. No, I didn't do my research. I did research on the other shit, the more local. But my local people in Queens, they're already in office.
So yeah, it's Jabari's not really in there, which was sick.
Yeah, and so it's, I'm in a pretty straightforward zone, but it still feels good to do. It still feels like, yep, I did what I could this year.
Totally. And I told other people I'm talking in my vibrator like it's a microphone right now.
That's great. I love it.
I feel good about it. I feel like there's a little bit too much patting on the back for doing our fucking civic duty, but
I know, it's crazy, like, no one voted till this year, really, like, I don't know anyone who ever early voted. Everyone always goes on election day, and finally early voting's being used. It's very weird. It's like, we're a very reactive country.
I just talked to my mushroom dealer, and he was like, I'm gonna vote tomorrow. And he was like, and I was like, okay, well, then I have to pick up the mushrooms way later, because it's gonna take you hours. And he was like, no, I think it'll mostly be dead because everybody early voted. And I was like, no. What?
I just don't think so.
No way.
It's gonna be crazy.
It'll be as crazy as other election years. It's just now more people voted, you know what I mean?
Right, there's so many people voting this year.
Yeah,
and it's just like a ton of people early voting and in person on day of, plus more people get the day off work, so they're gonna do that tomorrow instead of last week. And they didn't have early voting today. So probably today people just realized, oh, that was my last chance. Now I have to go tomorrow.
I did it in Bed-Stuy where it was like, everybody stand in line, 6 feet apart, wear your mask, da-da-da-da. And then you get out mm-hmm. and there's like, now just grab a random piece of pizza out of this box. Good job. And you're like, ooh.
They had pizza at yours?
Hell yeah. It was so
good.
What
the fuck?
It was good pizza. Fitness?
Wow.
I mean, but I was like, this is not COVID friendly, but I really
definitely
don't.
Not. We didn't have pizza. I just got a sticker and a pen.
Also, it's like all these white, it's all these like white liberals being like, I'm going to early vote. All these millennials being like, yeah, because fuck racism, fuck, you know. And then like these like actually of the neighborhood people would walk up and be like, could I have a piece of pizza? And they're like, not if you're voting, bitch. You're like, it was so ridiculous. Was
yes, like, totally. It's very, I feel like Brooklyn political efforts are very like youthful, like this is what needs to change here. And the people who have been there since forever ago are like, sure.
Yeah, totally.
That sounds fun. I don't think I'm even have my license in New York State.
Yeah, there were so many millennials in this line. It was crazy. Yeah. So many hip kids waiting. Gramming, yeah. Instagramming each other.
Yep.
And the line.
Gram K, but yeah, gramming.
I mean, basically definitely it was, yeah, Instagram-y. 150 gram keys.
It's so weird that you had to make voting like cool to get people to do it. Get the Instagram
post. Yeah, I mean, it was really, really helpful. I mean, it was, mm-hmm. it did help the bullying that happened on social media to get people to do it. And that was like an argument I got in with one of my friends who was like, I just think it's really fucked up that we're, you know, kind of being manipulated into voting for an establishment Democrat, you know. And I was like, the reason why you feel like you're being bullied is because you're just used to like corporations and social media telling you what to mm-hmm. do, and like you're kind of conflating those things as opposed to what this the vote or die thing is kind of conjured up by our generation being like, no, seriously, we actually have to vote or people will die.
Yeah. Yeah, there's always this resistance to it. There's always this like, oh, they're both equally bad. And I feel like that's just like a lazy contrarian take at this point.
Yeah.
I've gotten like into arguments of people who are like, I'm not voting for either because I'm not going to get fooled. And there's like a lot of negative consequences of Trump getting another term that they're not thinking about. They're not thinking about like some kind of stability of Biden coming in and not firing his administration every other week.
Yeah. I have friends who are like, I'm going to put in Bernie's name. And I'm like, well, why don't you just take the pen off the paper and poke yourself in the eye, you idiot.
Yeah. Right. I agree.
But I'm really proud of our generation. I think it's really cool and good. I do have a friend whose partner isn't voting. That was a interesting thing. There are a lot of libertarians that I think are, you know, keeping themselves inside because they're like, I'm not going to vote for the conservative Joe Biden. And it's just like, dude, at this point, you're just, if you don't vote, then in my eyes, you just are a racist. Like if you know what I mean? Because at this point, yeah. It isn't a conservative versus a Democrat. It's a conservative being Biden versus a white supremacist. Don't be crazy.
And like, you hate poor people and immigrants and it's hard to, I think the scariest thing is like, if you vote for Trump, we've kind of like bullied them so much that they're not admitting it in the polls. So I think they might come out in droves on Tuesday or today, Election Day, and Trump might get more of the vote than we are predicting.
If we had been smart about it, we would have hired a really cool country music band and had like a big, you know, event that they all had to get trapped at or something.
Right.
You know, we could have had some sort of Madison Square Garden could have been like free Funyun giveaway.
Right. Oh my gosh, they should have done that. Madison Square, like a fire fest in Madison Square, but the headliner is Gwen Stefani's husband, Blake Shelton. And
yeah, the headliner is just like a hot dog.
Yeah, and they have free food, free fried food, and like a rodeo at the end.
Ugh, I will say I would go to that. That event that you just described,
yeah,
I would love
sound
to go
ballin'.
To that. Oh my god, I miss rodeos. I don't know if I've been to one, but I miss them.
That sounds better than the last event I went to at MSG, which was a fish concert.
My friends went to that, I think. Was it the like Baker's dozen? A couple years ago?
It was, a few summers ago.
Yeah, my friends went to that. And like, mm-hmm. I went to MSG for Bruce Springsteen mm-hmm. and then The Who. My ex-boyfriend's rich parents just like go to concerts. It's like they like took a car from their Huntington, Long Island home yeah. to MSG. And then we went to a concert and then we took a fucking car back. It was unbelievable. That's man, awesome. Dating rich is sick. It's like really finite because eventually you just like become the help. But it is like...
Literally.
It's good while it lasts. Well,
Andrew and I went out to dinner with Andrew's friend from childhood on Friday. And he's dating the daughter of like a media mogul. And he's like... We looked up her dad on Google. He's literally a billionaire. And they flew on a private jet from L.A. to New York just to visit for the weekend. And he owns, like, half of Barstool. He owns, like...
Wait, they flew a private jet to New York City?
From L.A., yeah.
That's so cool.
And meeting her and then reading about her dad after was very humbling. But I was watching the two of them and I was thinking, they might not last because either he's going to say... I can't handle this. It makes me very insecure how much money you have. Or she's just going to be like, oh, you're fucking poor. I can't deal with you. People I have that a, it always, most of the time ends up not working out unless you're Meghan Markle.
I have a very firm belief that people stay pretty close to their tax bracket. And if they don't, they don't work out. Dude,
it's so true. You stay close to your tax bracket. And for the most part, people stay in the class they were raised in as a kid. We pretty much have... a caste system.
Yeah, I've dated rich and it's been really cool for a while and the moms really fall in love with me because I'm like this scrappy girl who's like, yeah, I'll fix your dishwasher, no worries, right. babe. But then, you know what I mean? Or they're like, don't break up with Jordan, she knows how to repair the Honda, you know?
Right.
But then there gets to a point where it's like the leisure starts to get to me, if that makes any sense, mm-hmm. where the amount of like apathy around, you know, like we're going to go on vacation. And there's a lot of shame also that comes with boys who have a lot of money. And mm-hmm. I feel like I am representative of a lifestyle of the way that they wish that they had brought up by like two scrappy kind of intellectuals. Right. But instead they kind of have whack Prosecco rich parents. So that creates resentment.
So whack. Yeah.
I think I could date like the son of like professors that were rich through like that. But usually it's just like old money that's, like, kind of shameful, and they feel bad about it, and they want to be like Bob Dylan, and I am like Bob Dylan, you know?
So. They want to be like Bob Dylan, but they can't because they're so sheltered, and they also don't have work ethic, and so they don't even if they were into songwriting, they would write one and be like, make me famous.
Totally.
And so they don't have that, like, grit that maybe you and I might have. So
and I get resentful. Like, I'm like... Mm-hmm. You know, oh, you're just going to, like, tap the fund and get $300 put into your bank account at the last minute. Literally. Because, you know what I mean? Yeah. And it's like, I mean, I dated a guy who had a lot of money. His parents had a lot of money. And it was like, okay, an example would be, like, if we were, like, I would be doing carpentry all day or, like, really struggling to make ends meet so that we could pay rent. And he would just, like, tap the fund and make it happen for himself. But, like, there was never a possibility of me being, like, could I... borrow a couple $100 this month because I'm short, because he would be like, I don't have that money. Where do you think I'm getting it? And it's like, I know. Right. Yeah. But like the last boyfriend I had, it was like over quarantine, I didn't have any money. And it was like, oh yeah, my parents used to be poor and now they have money. So now I'm okay. Right. So you can, you know what I mean?
Right.
And, but like if somebody is raised rich their whole time and is always a little bit like, I love when people are rich and they're like, yeah, my parents have loads of money. It's crazy, right. You know, and they just, like, unabashedly admit it, but it's so rare.
They end up being more fun.
Yeah.
Lindsay Tyson, a comedian, raised rich. Her parents own a faucet company, bought an apartment in Manhattan with her inheritance. She admits it all the time. She's so fun, always down to party. I have another friend who will constantly say, oh, but... my dad's money is new, so he's not, you know, he's not like that. He really is good with, like, she won't come out and be like, yeah, I'm fucking loaded. And it's like, you have to, like, pat around her, like, avoidance of that. And she's always sending Venmo requests and stuff.
I hate the Venmo requests from rich splitting. People. It's so crazy.
I know. And so you got, and I did a roast last week for a family in Brooklyn, like a big Jewish family, really wealthy Jewish people. And the whole time we just made fun of how rich they were, and they fucking loved it. I love people who display it, flaunt it, talk about it.
Yeah, unlike those Dumbo shows or, you know, the Soho shows where you make fun of people and they fucking turn on you.
Because they have low self-esteem, so they think you'll attach their richness to their character or to their any job achievement they've had. So they want to make it seem like, no, I got this but just by my talent. You done it. You didn't. Like the girl who was on the date with the guy who we went out with on Friday, her two brothers were like the original writers of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Would they have gotten that if they didn't have a insanely rich dad? I want to say no.
Wow, that's nepotism, baby.
Right, nepotism, baby.
God damn.
I think the first time... Me too. I have no connections. I have like negative connections. When people see me, they're like, don't come here again.
I've always thought I was lucky because I can always just go home and like work on carpentry projects with my parents to make a little money. You know what I mean? That's what, I've always been like, that's nepotism, right? That they need like their roof fixed.
When I was in college, my mom worked at a hospital like half hour from my college, and she got me a job at the front desk, and I was like, I'm not gonna tell anyone. I feel ashamed.
Right.
She got me a job.
I know there's a difference between a connection and nepotism, I think. But it, yeah, I mean, I've dated multiple people who have a lot of money, and I will say that, like, I would say, like, 4 out of 5 of them I ended up doing jobs for, like, carpentry jobs or, like...
Right.
And I always... It's so crazy. And then that dynamic switches, and then it's over from there.
It's fun at first, because you're like, oh, my God, in-ground pool, finished basement, pool table in the basement. This is fucking awesome. And then there's just... It's just a different... Like, the first guy I dated who was super rich was in high school, and he was a year ahead of me. And he applied to every, like, the most expensive schools for college. Vassar, Wesleyan, Hamilton, Colgate. Like, exclusively liberal arts schools that were, like, $60,000 a year.
And you're like, okay, we will be breaking up.
And then he was applying to those jobs and doing, like, a summer month-long enrichment program in Cambridge, England. That was, like, $10,000. And while I was working at like a burrito place
at home.
And I think it was him visiting me while I was working at the burrito place that I was like, oh, this is not going to work out. I'm a servant to the earth, and you will go to college for free, even if you major in fucking fashion.
I'm reading an incredible book right now, right here, called My Brilliant Friend by Elena Ferrante. Yeah. It's so good. And she is like a...
I never read it, but one of them's rich and pretty, right? Or something? Go ahead. Well,
one of them starts off very poor and marries really rich. And she, like, I think is her best friend right now is like, she dresses like a fucking duchess and is abandoning us. And it's like, yeah, I would for sure do that. I would for
easily.
Sure.
Easily. I would turn Meghan Markle retire the shit.
All my tools. I would never touch a thing again. My sister's like that. My sister grew up with me, no money, zero money, now is married to a guy who has, like, a good, not just, he has, like, good blue collar. He, like, is the manager of a, what's it called? Scrap metal yard. Oh, he, like, makes just, like, more than we've ever made, but, like, totally reasonable. Mm-hmm. And she just, like, you hear her on the phone with the plumbers, and she's like, okay, if you think that that's what a toilet should be like when it flushes, you are really delusional. And I'm like, bitch, you were fucking ankle deep in toilet juice a week ago, okay? Get the fuck out of here.
I love it. I love it. Yeah, I think the goal is to rise out of your income class, but maintain your sense of character and be nice to people still.
I mean, I would just start dressing like a cult person with, like, you know, the like, flax and long robes and big scarves over me and just be like, I want to give back to the people, but I have to take care of family first. I think I would become a huge bitch if I married rich.
I would for sure I would make myself look like a real housewife. I would get lip fillers, big tits, personal trainer, eat quinoa for every meal.
Oh, my God. I want a boob job so bad.
I need. Could you after imagine I saw everyone's how fun that would be? After I saw everyone's boobs, Jordan and I went to a backyard Halloween party on Saturday, and we saw a lot of pictures of boobs. And after that, I need to get mine lifted.
What a fun thing. But I will say, I'm watching this show with Nicole Kidman. Her face is a nightmare.
Oh my God. Is there a new episode out? On HBO.
There's episode 2.
Yeah, I have to watch it tonight. What's it called again?
Oh my God. I don't even know, dude. Fuck.
It's the same. It's Nicole Kidman, rich, disturbed woman.
Yeah, I don't know.
Poor person gets murdered.
We love watching rich people. We love watching them.
We love watching them get disturbed by
and
a lower income person. Literally, yeah. Big Little Lies. Shailene Woodley comes on, single mom, lives in a shack by the sea. Everyone's like, what's her deal?
What's her deal? How is her face so big and her body so small?
Yes. Yeah, what's going on there?
I don't know.
Pretty Little Fires. Kerry Washington comes on and the whole town is shaken. What?
Kerry Washington, again, an actress who, why does she make one facial expression the entire show? The whole show, she just raises her lip like this.
The
and you're like, what is that? That's every single line you say, you lift
huge.
Your lip up.
But Nicole Kidman in this.
Her face is a fucking. Yo,
yeah,
that's
my goal.
Jeff Akuri, R. Curie, was talking to me about somebody that he was maybe like dating or something who was like, I think it was Jeff. It might not have been. But it was somebody who was like, I am the person who manages Nicole's face on sets. Because she has
what?
So many Botox holes, it's their job to, like...
Shut up. Holes?
Holes. Straight up holes, dude. Like, it's their job to edit the holes.
Shut up.
Yeah, isn't that
wild? Wait, so she does post-editing or she does pre, like, putting makeup on it?
I think it's post-editing. Like, Nicole is like, if there, you know, if there's a hole, you're gonna have a hole in your goddamn head.
Do you get holes from Botox?
I don't know. I think maybe if you get them enough, but it... I mean, he's... And then I look closely on the show and there are, like, pockmarks. Not... pockmarks but holes right. And I mean she looks so incredibly frightening, like I would
she
it's
looks
easier
like a
for me to watch
doll.
a grandfather who has been an alcoholic
right.
since the Vietnam War than to watch her face move around in that fucking show.
She has no wrinkles. She looks like a porcelain doll.
She
and,
looks like the Stitch It the Nightmare Before Christmas Sally.
Yes, she looks like that bitch.
Where her lips are like
she looks
tight
like
in
that,
the sides.
Yeah.
It's so scary.
She does.
You
want to
be
like
bitch, just go with it. You gotta age. We're gonna be okay. Death is gonna be a swift silence.
Sometimes you get to the point where it's too late. Sometimes if you do a lot of Botox, you just gotta do it for the rest of your life.
Right, like Monica from Friends.
Yes, her face
she
looks insane.
She must chill. She cannot
what
keep doing that shit.
What happened?
I know at a certain point you're like, all right, make me look old. Let out the slack.
Yeah. Honestly, I go back and forth on the Botox thing. I think I'm going to do the au naturel.
I wouldn't mind a good facelift halfway through my, you know, at
right.
like 58, but like...
Yeah.
Yeah, pull it all back at once. Don't just keep you know, like a jerry-rigging the different parts of it. And so
I know. I would love if something came out in like 10 years that's like, Botox is killing you. And here's all this stuff. Or like some disease comes out that's caused by Botox, and so I like can put it off of my skincare.
I mean, my friend that was all fucked up at that show that we were at the other night has already gotten lip fillers.
Oh, she has lip fillers? Yeah.
Yeah, she did once, but they like go away pretty fast. But like, I mean, I know young people who are just, already getting so much shit. I'm like, yo, if you hate your nose, get a nose job. If you hate your stomach, get your, like, do whatever you need to do. But the whole, like, anti-aging mechanisms are so ineffective and so frightening.
It's crazy and it's so obvious, too, especially the lip fillers. And, Botox is very shiny. It feels like if you rub their face, your hand will squeak on it.
Well, it just looks like clay. It looks like you could push your finger right through their fucking head.
Yes. It's so
like,
crazy.
They all look like wax sculptures. It's crazy.
Yeah. I know.
But I already, at 29, feel my face. I can feel it, like, the gravity. I'm getting to the point where, you know, when you get out of the shower and you wipe your face with a towel, I'm now, like, wiping up instead of pulling down. You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, let's fucking not add to this shit.
Yeah, you're supposed to lotion up, too, in an upward motion, right? Which I think is an urban legend, but...
My stepmom, who's, like, owns a salon, always tells me to put on under eye cream with my ring fingers because it doesn't pull on your skin so much, and I'm like, that is
so
scary that I could pull my... Yeah, totally.
Well, now I know. That is crazy. My goal is to be off of a screen... And kind of just be doing stand-up or at-home stuff So no, the world doesn't have to watch me age. I think that if you're not on TV and you're just home with your kids and husband or partner, then you can chill on the Botox, I think.
Totally. That is the plan. Yeah. Also, my mom is pretty good to look at, and she's 62 or something, but...
Yeah, my mom looks good, too.
My dad aged pretty rapidly, but he also refused to go to doctors and smoked 2 packs a day.
Right. That'll do it.
That will
I'm
do
trying
it.
To, I feel like if you exercise at this point in your life, it'll be crucial to later on.
How are you dealing with exercise outside? Are you still running outside?
So I do a jog outside. I have an app called Varus, and they're like guided jogs. So they tell you like when to go fast. Today I ran 4.5 miles.
Yay,
not
good.
To brag. So I do that every other day. And then on day off, I'll do yoga or something. But
I'm just doing the Bodyweight app right now, which is just like push-ups and pull-ups. And it's pretty great. Cool, though. But I'm going to start going back to Blink because I hate the cold so much.
I was running today. The wind blew me literally into the river.
I biked home last night, and I was being pushed on my bike hard. Yeah.
Yeah. It's crazy. I think it's that hurricane wind or something.
Yeah. I would like to be able to run outside, but every time... I don't know. I could run outside quick and come back in and then do, like, a workout, but the, like, long endurance runs, fuck my ass. They suck.
Yeah, it was awful. It was really bad. I don't know. I'm going to take it day by day. I just know, like, when I lived in Buffalo, I would run outside in, like, 2-degree weather. So I'm like, you can
do it. Me too. When I lived in Buffalo, I was running outside every day, and it was so... In, like, snow. Like, straight-up piles of snow.
There would be ice on the side. I remember, like... Specifically, ice on the sidewalk. I'd get home at 5 from work. It would be dark out already. Or I would jog in the morning before work. I don't know why I became such a pussy.
Well, when me and you were on that rooftop show the other night, I was, like, kind of panicking about how much of a bitch I was. Like, I was like, bro, I am wearing so many pants. I am wearing so many sweaters. Right. I have the biggest jacket. I'm dying. Yeah. And I was like, how is it only 45 degrees and I think I'm going to fucking jump off this roof right now? It's so brutal.
But I think maybe we haven't been outside as much. So when you're like walking to the train and just like even jostling between shows, you're like, okay, all right, I'm getting used to this. But standing on a roof, just standing there, that's fucking chilly.
It's going to be so nice to have a slow winter. It's going to be sick.
Mm-hmm. I'm not doing it.
I'm going to get
the shows.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm just surprised they haven't invented something that's like winter skin and it's like a fucking thermoprotective super tight layer that just does... You know what I mean? I'm like, how hard can that be? A goddamn Spider-Man suit? Let's do it. No.
Under Armour.
But it doesn't do it. It's not... I mean, like, you put it on and you're actually warm. Like, you just are like...
Right, right.
That's got to exist.
It's probably like Olympic skiers have something like that.
Yeah, I'm like, let's get the, like, you know, the veins of geothermal, you know. So I hit a button and it's like 98 degrees, you know.
Right.
Let's do it.
That sounds great. Like an electric blanket, but it's your skin.
I every year try and get enough money to buy my mom an electric Carhartt coat. But to be honest, the reason why I never do it is because I have OCD and I'm always worried that it's going to set my mom on fire.
I know. That is the thing with electric blankets.
Yeah.
That would be crazy if you set your mom on fires.
I'm fine with setting myself on fire. I would set my dad on fire, but not my... No way.
Right. That would be crazy.
I know.
It's a good story.
It's not a good story. It's a bad story. Speaking of stories, I'm trying to write a show right now about my paralyzed friend. My God. Is that hard to make funny, tell you what?
Yeah, that is pretty hard.
But I'm thinking maybe it can be a little hybrid euphoria. You know what I mean?
Definitely. I think before you write a show, all you have to do is be like, is it drama, dramedy, shtick comedy like The Office, or is it more like Seinfeld reality comedy? But you can still make that funny. I mean, they have shows about fucking...
Totally. I mean, we did edibles together and got fucked up all the time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would be... I think people would call it heartfelt.
Yeah, I mean, I know everybody says Fleabag-like, but that's like a dark comedy.
Yeah, I would say it would be more a realistic portrayal of what it was like with her without being too, like, green booky uplifting in a way that isn't based on what it actually was like.
No, this was going to be like grotesque. This is going to be like her being paralyzed and like me accidentally almost like cutting her in half by like trying to get her out of her chair when I'm blackout, you know?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
I think that'd be great.
Thanks. We'll see.
With some like funny dialogue from her about, you know, maybe like fights that you kind of had, if you had fights. So just like, not fights, but like funny bickering.
Totally, yeah. I wanted to, I mean, there are so many funny parts. There's like her being like, maybe I can figure out, you know, like there were specialists who'd be like, you can still orgasm through your ears. You know what I mean? There could be a fucking, yeah, totally. I mean, there's so many things. Because, you know, we talked about it. She was like a super sexual person. And she was like, what, I just can't fuck? And then we were like, well, there's stuff that says that you can still, if you have feeling in your ears, you can still come.
How? Did she ever do it?
No way, but we tried.
Oh. Yeah.
I mean, it's so, there were so many funny aspects. I mean, she had a nurse that was working for her who she had such a crush on. This woman was so fucking hot. She, like, drove a motorcycle. And we were like, oh, hell yeah. Helene at least has, like, there's, like, some sexual stuff going on in this. And she just, she was, like, kind of falling in love with her. And then that woman got fucking hit by a car on her motorcycle and died.
Oh, my gosh.
I know. Wow. It was, like, so, and my dad died while I was taking care of Helene. Mm-hmm. It was, like, epic to the point where I was like, bro, I'm going to start doing stand-up comedy. And then, you know what I mean?
That is like an origin story type of thing. And also, it's like when you see something like that in a TV show, you're like, that would never happen.
Totally. It was so weird. That's what. And I was so drunk that I never think about it. But I've lately been like thinking back on all the shit. And I'm like, holy crap. That was so crazy that people let me do that. That people, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely. I always think of, like, college. I was blackout for most weekends. And if I'm falling asleep, I'll think back to, like, insane times. And you're just like, what the fuck happened?
I can't believe they let us do that for 4 years.
I know. I know. Nuts. 4 straight fucking years. Blacking out to the end.
Oh, yeah. All the way up until the very last goddamn day.
Yeah.
But would you take it back if you could, college?
I actually think about this all the time lately, just because the state of my life has been very, wow, this wouldn't happen if I went to UB for nursing, you know?
Yeah, totally.
So honestly, probably the value of my college, but then you're like, but I'm me, but I like hate myself. So
right.
I don't know. I feel like I'm very funny, not because of college, but it did kind of like make me insecure in a way that helped me with my stand up and to become self-deprecating. And
I think I would have just had me drop out 2 years in.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like 2 years of like learning how blackout works, learning, you know, what it's like to be sexually assaulted, and then drop out. You know what I mean? Like
the associate's degree of sexual assault. It was very, even by the last year, I was like, I can't do this again. This is so, especially a space like Alfred or Geneseo, you're like, this place is so small. I fucked everyone. Everyone else is gay. Everyone else is, you know, dead. And I have to do this again. And the teachers, the professors at Geneseo try to keep it like high quality, so they don't give out any A's. So it was like impossible to get a good GPA. So
and
I
feel
spent
good
4 years.
Yourself, yeah.
Yeah. So I spent 4 years at this shitty place that no one knows, and I didn't even have a good GPA. Well, it was like 3.5, but it was like, it was
fucked up. GPA was dog shit. I mean, and it was like I really did try. That's the thing that was fucked up.
Yeah. If you're paying this much for a school that no one's gonna know, and you go to New York City, and they're like, "What's Genesoa?" You should give us everybody A's, because
did you know a guy named school. Did you know a guy named Kai Riffle?
Maybe.
He went to ACS and then Geneseo.
Oh really? I'll look him up. Mm-hmm. Everyone looks familiar. From there.
Yeah, everyone from upstate looks familiar. They're all
everyone. They all look the same. Incest freaks. Girls are too hot for the guys.
Do you know any other female comics from Buffalo?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Not living in the city.
I know comics from Buffalo, they're men.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but there's a lot of guys there. But Would I take college? I think I would go back, say, take a year off, learn how to like yourself so that you don't black out and fuck ugly dudes. And then think about if you want to go live in a dorm or if you want to get like a degree that will get you a job and live from home or live in an apartment in Buffalo and just do that. Because it was like, for some reason, I was so sold on the college town experience and it was just like a fucking waste of money.
When I would just take a year off, do coding, learn how to code.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then decide. Learn how to be an electrician, carpenter, code, some sort of trade. Preferably something that isn't that physical, like plumbing would be good. Mm-hmm. And then go to school because, yeah. I mean, if somebody had literally just steered me in the direction of the philosophy section at the Ithaca Library, I wouldn't have needed to go to college at all. I just didn't really know it existed.
Oh, just send me the 10 essays that I had to analyze in my career, in my college career. And we're good to go.
I did learn how to hold court, though, in college. Because in high school, you couldn't really hold court. I mean, you could amongst your friends, but you couldn't because you're so terrified because everybody had, like, watched you grow up and you wanted to impress them. But in college, it was, like, enough people where you were like, I can captivate. I can make all of these people laugh in this group without, like, because they don't know where I came from. They didn't see me as, like, a fat mall goth.
That's true.
And college was definitely good for that.
Yeah, college was, I know, it's like ultimately, okay, if I stayed in Buffalo and did like the technical thing, would I be more of a sheltered person who isn't able to ultimately do comedy because you didn't black out and get confidence from doing all that?
Yeah.
And then I was also like the editor of my school newspaper, and I think that gave me like a work ethic of like deadlines and managing people, and that I think is helping now. I don't know, it's so hard to say.
It is hard to say. It's hard to say if you change anything about the past, obviously, because it would interrupt the present. But I definitely will say if I had kids, I would not ever push it. And yeah, I was certainly pushed into college.
But I think even by the time we have kids, college is going out of style a little bit more.
I don't understand why my parents both went to an Ivy League university.
Yeah.
For my dad for journalism, my mom for vet. And both of them ended up as poor carpenters. I'm like, why did you push college on me? What the hell?
Right.
And they're like, we don't want you to be carpenters like us. And I was like, you went to school. Right. You are in debt.
I know.
It was crazy.
You have a Cornell degree. What the fuck?
Yeah.
Yeah, my parents both went for, like, my mom wanted to be on, like, a radio person. And then I think she got one radio job and either took it and quit or didn't take it because it was too low paying. And now all the time she's like, I just wish I would have stayed in radio. I could have been like you, a star. And then my dad went to school for music and then he just became a, you know, freight logistics guy.
Like an engineer, kind of?
No, like operations management for FedEx.
Oh, like I see. Docks.
Yeah.
My sister says the same thing about hockey. She's like, I wish I had just only pursued hockey. And it's like,
right.
It's hard to, I mean, that's why I dropped out of grad school. Cause I was just like, let's put all my eggs in this basket for sure. But
yeah.
I guess I'm also like, recently I stopped. I don't know if it's a stimulus or if it's the unemployment or whatever, but I did kind of stop worrying about money, like the future of having a lot of money, which scares the shit out of my parents. But it is like,
yeah,
I don't know. It's just not, I don't know if it's, I would like to be comfortable and stuff, but I guess I stopped worrying about the sensation of being like, I need to figure out how to have a really low amount, a really stable amount of income coming in.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Whereas like now it's like at some point I want a lot of income coming in. But before when I was going to grad school, I was like, I just need like a little bit at one time. You know what I mean? Where now it's like, no, I'm fine being poor for 10 years so long as it pays off. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. I mean, I also feel like the time we were raised in was very like, we would watch a lot of like MTV Cribs and you're like, that's the fucking life I want.
Yeah.
And then maybe you didn't think about like just a stable income until you're applying to grad school, but then you're in the middle of a comedy career too.
Totally.
No one, they don't teach you like, if you want to do something creative, That's awesome, but it might be a long road, so you have to like doing that thing enough, but we support you. But if you want something stable, think about your intelligence and your capacity. And not even intelligence, but just like, if you want to be a doctor, that's a lot of work. But if you want to be a nurse, that's a great income and less work.
Yeah.
You know, like,
it was
no
weird
one talks
watching
to you
some of
that.
My friends be like, I know that I said that I was going to move to New York with you and do X, Y, and Z, but I come from a family of nurses and I'm going to stay in that family of nurses.
Right.
And you're
wow.
like, what? No. You know what I mean? You're like,
yeah.
And now they're doing it and have a kid and a house. And you're like, wow, you like made the right, you made a great move for yourself, you know?
I know. That's great. I feel like you should be more honest with high schoolers about passions versus reality and how feasible would it be to have a hockey career if your sister pursued it versus like the reality.
See, but I think the in-between is the issue. Like, I think people being like, you want to be smart about it, but you also want to pursue your passions. Like, I feel like that's what our parents did, which is a little bit fucked up because it was like, it was like, you want to be able to have stable income, but you also want to do what you love because they're the boomers, right? So they keep like leaving their jobs to do new jobs that they like better.
Always.
But I feel like if somebody had been like to my sister, like, just go for your dream, fuck it.
Right.
You know what I mean? Maybe she would have been better off than like the trying to find stability, but also doing the, you know what I mean? Like you can do this, but also do this. It's almost like you really, really need to go full delusion or full 9 to 5. You know what I mean? Like,
definitely. I think when I started stand up, I was full delusion because it was easier to tell myself this is going somewhere. That'll be me in 5 years. Oh, I will be there. And obviously, I'm still confident, but because I was abandoning this, like, stable lifestyle that I had ingrained in me of, like, 9 to 5 with health insurance, that was my home, my lifestyle growing up. So when I started comedy, I was like, uh-oh, going against my family values. Let's tell ourselves this is going to work out or else they're going to disown you.
But they were supportive, right?
Yeah, they were supportive, but when I started making, like, money, that's when they were like, whoa.
Yeah.
It wasn't. Now they're like, there's the comedian. We love her. Before it was they didn't take it serious, but it was like, there was like an air of like, where's this going? Are you getting paid?
My parents were so like, if I did an open mic, they were like, you are amazing.
Really?
Like they were like introducing me at the grocery store to every person we ran into. You know what I mean? Like it was, I mean, I could do heroin and paint a picture and be the heroin painter. And my parents would be like, we knew it. We knew
That's
that
great.
You were, it was crazy.
Yeah. They were supportive, but there was always this underlying, like, where are you going to get your money?
That's how they were with my sister. But with me, it was just like, the fucking, I literally could do no wrong. I mean, especially with my mom, I could just like, just end up in jail and she would just be like, you would because you're creative, you know? And it was like, Jesus Christ, mom.
That's great.
You know?
Yeah.
But my sister did something wrong and they're like, God damn it, you're supposed to be the A personality type, you know?
Right.
We don't have room for Jordan to be,
Totally. Yeah, it's hard. Definitely passions, but smart about them. And kind of like telling like a high schooler, you don't have to pick everything now. And no one's going to think you're a social pariah for not going to a school with like brick buildings and dorm rooms.
Totally. Yeah.
Because it costs a lot of fucking money.
Joe Biden said he'd forgive 10% of student loans. I'm like, all right. You need to hike that bitch up.
I know. At first I was excited and then I was like, oh, that's like $4,000.
I just want to know if we're going to get more stimulus. That's all I want to know.
Was it 10% or $10,000? It was 10%.
Oh, maybe you're right. It was $10,000. Yeah.
That's awesome. Because I think that's what I was like, wow. Yeah, I think it's $10,000. Or maybe, I don't know.
Speaking of Joe Biden, the election. Okay, so.
Yes, so.
Coping mechanisms.
Yes,
if
so
Biden wins.
Well, let's talk about the possibilities of today, which is Tuesday, because I'm kind of apprehensive that there's going to be a definite by the end of the night. So you should go in with no expectations to know.
If the polls read that Biden won, we're all going to celebrate, but please don't lose your goddamn mind. The revolution is far from over. It's an uphill battle with that man.
I think people are thinking, like, I know, I think there's a lot of, like, let's just get this done on November 3rd, and then finally I can go back to not paying attention to social issues. And it's like, yeah, okay, he's in. That just, like, gets Trump out of there, but there's so much other stuff, and he's so moderate that, like, there's so much more. But I think,
I mean, that's what we did with Obama, where we just stopped paying attention to Obama, and then Obama did, like, a million drone strikes and deportations and all this shit, when it was like,
everyone's like, he's black, we're fine.
Yeah. But Biden is, obviously the worst of the fucking nominees, but, I mean, of the Democrats, but...
Yeah.
I mean, if Trump wins, I'm gonna, start a small business of dealing birth control and pushing women downstairs who are pregnant if they need it, and...
Right.
But...
I feel like you have to remind yourself, okay, Trump won, I'm still alive from 2016. I thought we were all gonna die after that. Senate could go blue. There's a lot of changes that's happening in local elections that could be good for a lot of people.
And there's a possibility that the next Democratic nominee might not be a puppet. You know what I mean? It could be somebody who is maybe an establishment Democrat, but also has, like, a little bit more Democratic socialist values or something. Right. There could be a silver lining. I have so many fucking guy friends who are like, yo, if Trump wins again, I'm going to get a gun. And you're like, what? Oh, that's like you being like, if Trump wins again, I'm going to become a conservative. You're like, what are you talking
about?
Why
would you get a gun? Like, who's that helping?
It's so crazy. It's like they're like, there's going to be a civil war. And it's like, yo, you are like a white upper middle class kid in New York City. You're going to be just fine, motherfucker.
Yeah, your parents pay your rent. You'll be okay. Your parents pay your rent in Bed-Stuy. You'll be okay.
In Bushwick, It's like, it is totally, I mean, I do know a lot of people who are doing that. And it's like, you're just hoping that the chaos will ensue so that you can have something to gripe about. Because your life is boring.
People are like, I know, it's like, and it's always like white guys who think that they're in the line of fire for like anything Trump related. I'm like, no one's thinking of you. No one is targeting you. You'll be okay.
I wonder if... I mean, when Amy Coney Barrett got into the Supreme Court, it was really weird because I felt like such a fucking baby. But I, like... I was imagining when my mom's, like, found out that gay marriage was legalized and how we all, like, celebrated and it was really exciting and we were all, like... stoked and my mom's could get married and it was like we were kind of like tearing up and my mom like doesn't cry and I when she got in I just like was remembering that and I like totally broke down. I was so devastated and I was like, I mean, it is really 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 crazy to have history be reversed in such a like to be having history move so rapidly in the liberal cities and then to have it completely depicted as the polar opposite in Congress is so fucking weird. It's so Handmaid's Tale-y.
And my question is, like, is contraceptive, abortion, gay rights the top of anyone's priority list? Like, no. There's so much other shit going on. So to make that a priority, then you're just fucking evil.
Right, exactly. Yeah, why would that be? Yeah, because, I mean, you have to remember the religion, which still plays a huge role, which is so spooky, but it is like, our country is founded upon fucking, I mean, I was thinking about when people swear into the fucking courthouses and they're like, they're like, I swear to tell the whole truth, but nothing but the truth. So help me God. Like that's the pinky promise is so
one nation under God.
And like, so it is like, if we have a country of pious people, that means to the conservatives, if we have a country of straight heteronormative you know, completely, you know, no trans, no, none of this, because that's like Satan's work, which is I mean, I have, like, I know people who, like, very firmly believe in that shit. And it is, like, it's crazy that it's all in the same country. It's crazy that we're not talking about that it's not the United States versus another country, like, taking us over. You know what I mean? Right. We're not talking about, like, oh, shit, like, Russia might be, like, you know, mm. taking the United States in. It's like, no, it's like literally mm. state by state. It's not even yeah. state by state. It's if me and you drove 4 hours
mm-hmm. yeah.
north or, you know what I mean? Yeah, we totally hit it immediately.
I know. It's so true. It's really bizarre. I always forget about the religion thing because I'm like, this is me based too. On. And then I remember they, it's not crazy, but they're just like, it's instilled in them. And
yeah. It's as much as we don't believe it, they believe it. It's the same. Yeah. You know, it's like...
It's like equal, yeah.
It was weird to have one of my friends, like, I realized that they were really religious. And I was like, whoa, whoa. So, like... Because they do stand-up, and I was, like, opening for them. And I was like, when I do all these jokes about my moms, like... You're thinking in your head, like, in the context of, like, oh, my moms who are also going to perish in a fiery right. inferno in hell. And he was like, yeah, unfortunately... It really? Really bums me out that your moms are going to go to hell. It, like, really upsets me. And it was like, whoa, can you
wow
drop me off? I mean, we're still friends, wow. but it is. And it was like, yeah, my aunt is, like, really religious. And my dad and her stopped talking eventually because she kept trying to turn him religious. But she was so devastated that my dad died without accepting Jesus. Like, she was so upset that she wasn't going to get wow. to hang with her brother in heaven. And it was, like, such wow. an authentic devastation.
Yeah.
And it's hard for you to believe that they actually believe it, but it is, like, it is, like, once you realize how firmly you believe in what you believe in, if you then just think of that, like, they are, like, dude, this book was written, we were given the outlines, and, like,
right.
obvious, it says in the book that Satan is going to lead us more and more away from the truth, therefore, liberal values, science, are Satan at work, right. and it's really unfortunate that people are falling for it, and you're, like,
right.
holy shit, how can I even begin to argue with you about Trump if this is, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
The interesting thing is Trump isn't even, like, religious. He's not even
He's a terrible, yeah, he's not, doesn't talk about God. He's, like, he used to be a registered Democrat. He's not even, like, conservative. So, like, what the fuck is his deal? He's just pandering and using these people who have a way of thinking and just appealing to him so his name can be on the White House for the next 4 years.
We need to have psilocybin put into the water instead of fluoride. Everybody mm-hmm. has to be dosed with a light amount of mushrooms, and then we need to have a not a military, we need to have a grassroots coup where we chokehold all the corporations by stop buying, and mm-hmm. then we stop participating in government. They'll shut off our electricity. We'll figure out how to make it work. Everything will be crazy, but we'll break off into, you know, I'll be the carpenter, you know what I mean? There'll be all these mm-hmm. different, everybody will have their right. selected, you know,
mm-hmm.
Roles that they play. And then we can have, you know, maybe like multiple governments or a different, you know, we put in place somebody that we actually want, that we don't vote through an electoral college, but we actually vote through a majority. And then, yeah, and then, but I don't think that anything can change so long as we have this fucking,
yeah,
the system that we have set up with our unbelievable yeah. dogmatic obsession with the Constitution and yeah. our, like, you know, obsession with capitalism and anti, mm-hmm. I mean, my sister the other day, my fucking sister, who we are so close in our upbringing and our, we're identical in our beliefs. And the other day I was like, yeah, I mean, it sucks that we can't have somebody who's more democratic socialist. And she was like, well, and I was like, especially after the pandemic revealed that the $600 stimulus, which is just socialism at its finest, works so well. And she mm-hmm. was like, okay, yeah, but, like, you can't have a socialist. The United States can't become socialist. Socialism doesn't, like, work. And, like, the stimulus wasn't necessarily socialist. And, like, also people just used it to not work. And I was like, bitch, oh, are you kidding me?
No one was able to work.
It was so crazy to hear her say mm-hmm. this. I was like, you're just repeating what you're like,
right.
Baby daddy says, or like, you know what I mean? Right. Like,
what they always, everyone always is.
Yeah.
Everyone's just repeating something their boyfriend or something they heard on a podcast. No one knows what they're talking about. Everyone just picks who to listen to and then spews that info back.
Yeah, I mean, she's also a person who was like, everything needs to open back up immediately, which is like,
ooh.
We're still not open, right? We were going to open November 1st indoor. It's not open. Food? Dining?
No, dining's open. Dining's 25% capacity, and I think it just went up to 50.
Wait, although when was it at 25%?
September 30th.
Yeah, but 25% is like nobody's sitting. People are just going in and pulling it back outside, right? Because it's so low.
I think there's some people who have some tables inside. But I think it went up to 50 this week.
Wow. Have you eaten inside at all? Have you seen it?
I ate inside upstate.
Yeah, upstate. But I mean in New York City. I haven't seen it in New York. Like a pizza shop where it's like there's one table.
Yeah, usually we just go outside. It's like my first instinct is to be like, we'll sit outside. You forget that you can go inside. Because it's just been our way of life since March, so... I don't know. I think it's hard for restaurants right now.
That indoor show I did the other day was brutal.
Yeah, that shit is whack.
I mean, that was an indoor show on Wednesday, and it was, like, obviously poorly run, but it was also, like, the space, because it was so low capacity, I mean, and people had to be behind sneeze guards. The good audience members were, like, trapped away from you like fucking bubble people. But then when me and you had those shows on whatever, Halloween... I was blown away by how many people came out.
Me too.
That was so crazy.
I do think that people needed something to do for Halloween. Mm-hmm. So that's what they did, because there's no parties. Yeah. So I don't think it's a reflection of comedy in the cold. I think it was more like people were like, oh, I'll do that on Halloween, because they have somewhere to go.
Have you... What about your other outdoor shows? I mean, I guess the first one I did that day was low, but then the second two we did was good.
Yeah, the second two were good.
I feel like other ones that I've been doing... I guess I haven't been... Yeah. When was the last time you were at New York Comedy Club? Recently, right?
I was supposed to be last week, but I went out of town. No, I think I had one this week.
I think
there Monday or something.
People are still going.
Those are still popping. Yeah. I guess we'll see. We'll see what happens.
People have to drink... People mm-hmm. must drink and they have to socialize. Yeah. It's crazy. Yeah.
It's crazy. Anyway, shall we wrap it up for the day?
Most what time is it? How long have we been going?
My pants, 57.
Oh my God. Okay, was there any last things we were going... Wow, that was a short, long one.
No, guys, take it easy. Be kind to yourself.
Yeah, take it easy. To wrap it up, just be gentle on yourself. If Trump wins, it's not the... it is the end of the world, but we'll band together.
We'll band together. You have your girls with you. And don't watch the polls all day or else you'll lose your mind, because you're going to be like, oh my God, I'm on the edge of my seat.
Okay, we love you so much. Get a vibrator. It's changed my life. Maddie, I feel like there was... one more thing we're going to touch upon. Nope, that's it. Okay.
Yeah.
Love you guys so much.
Bye, y'all. Blood bottom girls, and you come by the bottom.